Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, everyone,
and this is Ursula Ellis with the regular crew out here at the Thoroughbred Center.
Minus Michael.
Michael is, I believe, in New York today. Isn't that right, Doc? It's Dr.
Yeah,
Doug Bynes.
Saratoga.
Went to Saratoga, yeah.
Yeah, he's got his fundraising going on up there as usual, but his little golf tournament and mini golf tournament.
With jockeys. It's so cute.
Yep, with the jockeys. Yeah. And so he's on the road, so you can try him on the phone, I guess.
Yeah, we'll try to give him a call. Miniature golf, that's my speed now.
That's so cute, though, having miniature golf and jockeys.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. I mean, who else would have thought of that but Michael?
Yeah. So if the jockeys were really, really, really small, they'd say, this is a regular course.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. I haven't played regular golf since I fell in Stoner Creek.
That was a sight. Right over, what is it, fifth grade?
I don't want to hear about it.
It's right on the edge of Stoner Creek, and there's a drop. I mean, there's no rough. That thing sits right on a little part of the ground that sort of sticks out into Stoner Creek. And there's maybe a foot off the green where you can stand. And he's over there, and he's, you know, hanging the you know, you take the club in your fingers, and you drip it and hang it, and he's sighting it, and he's doing this, and he backs up and disappears over the edge. You have never heard such words. Birds were falling out of the trees. All I saw was that putter.
Sounds like something out of
a movie. Oh, it was hysterical. I bit my tongue bloody, so I wouldn't say anything. He didn't laugh till about the ninth hole.
I was so embarrassed. I got up and I was shush, across the green, you know, and I looked around to see if anybody had seen the thing.
I said, are we quitting? Hell no. We kept playing. It was great.
And that was the end of my golf. Anyway, what are we doing today? I've got Eric Hamelback coming in. He's manager of Edina Springs. He's going to come in about 11 o'clock. Dr. Doug Byers is here as we speak. Michael Blowen, as we just reported, is in New York at Saratoga up there. We'll try to give Michael a call. Steve Moody's on vacation. So, you know, we've got another segment to fill with that Moody today. So, you know, maybe I can get Michael to talk a little bit. That won't be hard to do with it. foolish guy. We're going to talk a little about Iron Liege today, who was a three-year-old in 1957. Read something from Joe Palmer and, of course, Jackie's announcements. And let me talk about the Thoroughbred Center here a little bit first, because we've been having a pretty good month. So far this month, we have had 19 winners. 25 winners and 9 since the last show. I'll get it right in a minute. We've had 25 winners this month, 3 of them stakes winners, incidentally. But since last week's show, David Atkins saddled Curses and Blessings to win another starter allowance race. He went up to Presque Isle. Of course, this horse, I think he was coming off a win. Yeah, I know he won a starter allowance out at Keeneland. And he's a tough little horse, one of those long-distance horses, you know, that the further he runs, the better he gets.
And the worse the rest of them get.
Yeah, he just never gets tired. And, of course, carrying David around, that's why. Excuse me, David, but you're not the most petite person in the world. Let's see, Marco Castaneda, saddle one winner. Akiko Gothard, who brought donuts, she always does, fatten me up a little bit. Wayne Mackey. Scooter Hughes, Byron G. Hughes, Amalio Garcia, Troy Rankin, Mark Hubley went up to Arlington and saddled a winner up there. And somebody said he had 2 winners up there. I just saw one, but I'll look for the other one when I get back home. And if I've missed it, I'll sure plug it next week. But anyway, one at Arlington's enough. And last night, Brian Michael saddled a winner up at Mountaineer, Sweden, to win that. Oh, and this was given to me. These are some statistics compiled over at the main office over there. They were kind of interested in how they were doing down at Mountaineer this summer. And during the months of May and June, horses from the Thoroughbred Center won 29 at one at the rate of 29%. 29% winners out of here going down there. I bet that they hate to see them coming. And well over, almost two-thirds of them were in the 1-2-3. So that's a pretty good record for, you know, anybody. You know, I'll take that. You and I used to hit about 2%, didn't we, Jackie?
I think it was 1.2.
Oh, okay. Felt that way, you know, when it go to pay the bills. And well, anyway, so here we are. And Doc?
Oh, I got to say, okay. Dr. Dwayne Markham came.
Yes.
Yeah. What a nice guy.
He is.
Just a nice guy. We enjoyed him, you know, coming and stuff.
Well, and he is doing marvelous job with the organization of the Health and Welfare Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
He just
talked a lot about his drugstore, too.
Yeah, yep.
And he had free plug there.
Yeah. He's been involved with medication issues and been on the State Council for Medication. So he's kind of a quiet type out there that does a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, just nice.
And he does it right. Does it right.
Nice guy, yeah.
He really.
Well, no, I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
He used to come out here pretty regularly. Yeah. And I guess he got tired of deadbeats like us, Jack.
Well, we always paid.
Yeah, right.
Sooner or later, in some form or another.
I'm not picking on Dr. Markham here, but I sometimes see a lot of my colleagues get what I call the Amway syndrome. They get to be about 50, 55 years old and say, it's got to be an easier way.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they start looking around. So.
Well, he has a kind of a laboratory down there, too.
He does. Yeah. He has one of the first compounding pharmacies.
Uh-huh.
And so he's... And that's good for him. It gives him a lot of options.
Yeah.
I think the practice of veterinary medicine is more about losing options.
Is Wayne married?
Phone goes in. Essentially, yeah. Yeah. So, when I said it's one of those partnerships.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have asked that question.
Well, he didn't know Betsy, you know, with a brain injury, and we told him, and he just was so helpful. Acquired brain injury, something of Kentucky, gave me all the names and stuff.
Oh, that's
the
great.
Thing, and, yeah, I made a contact. I got a meeting next week. So that was awfully nice of him. So.
Yeah, well, his significant other, and sometimes referred to as wife, is Robin, and she works, or part owner with him, in the Cornerstone Pharmacy.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's fabulous.
He's got a farm, too.
Pardon me?
Oh, the pharmacy.
Pharmacy, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Cornerstone Pharmacy.
Well, that's good that he doesn't have to work in there then. That's the way to do it.
There you go.
Jackie went to work in the garden yesterday.
You should see it. It really looks nice.
She went out to work in the garden, so I felt guilty in mode.
I wound up with about a wagon load of weeds, but they're gone.
Well, speaking of weeds and gardening, I have a lot of praise for Dr. Craig Carter down at the diagnostic lab and the way he's got that place shaping up. One of the things that is going to be provided for there is they're going to have a garden for poisonous plants so that farm managers and other people can come in and learn how to recognize those plants.
Saw some the other day.
Yeah. Yep. So that's an important.
You saw some?
Yeah. There is a thing grows alongside of roads and in trails and stuff like that. When you look at it, it gets to be, what's this, about 4 feet high, and it gets a tassel on it. It looks off of the world like a stunted corn plant. Looks like corn stunted. And it's highly toxic, and I can't remember. Peggy Entrekin used to be head pony club, is a real, she knows. And we were trail riding once in the summer, and she said, that's it, that, you know, point to it. Because it's, when you look at it, you think, it looks like second generation hybrid corn that just, that, you know, how it doesn't turn into.
Well, it wasn't sedan grass, was it?
I'd have to look her up.
Yeah.
Let me take a break here, guys.
All right.
All right. Well, the first foals by First Samurai raced to two last year, and they came out running. Four have won stakes, including a pair of graded stakes winners, and two others have placed in stakes. And the beat continues with the second crop, July 9 of Woodbine, Northern Passion, a two-year-old filly by First Samurai, won her first start in an open maiden special with a purse of $67,100. And the next day at Monmouth Park, another first-time starting filly by First Samurai, Baffle Me, won a $45,000 maiden special. So there are more runners by First Samurai just waiting in the wings. His first crop stakes winners are Justin Phillip, winner of the Grade 2 Woody Stevens at Belmont and placed in the Grade 2 Jerome and the Grade 3 Bayshore. Let Me Go, winner of the Grade 3 Skylerville at Saratoga. Swift Warrior, winner of the $100,000 Rushaway Stakes at Turfway and placed in two stakes at Calder. And Trubs, winner of the Black Gold Stakes at the Fairgrounds. First Samurai by champion Sire Giant's Causeway won two Grade 1 stakes as a two-year-old. Grade 2 stakes at three, and he earned over $915,000. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
That's the image of Fuller Fuller Broken Vow, won a Grade 1 $350,000 Princess Rooney Handicap at Calder on July 9. Giving from 3 to 10 pounds to the rest of the field, Sassy Image put on an incredible stretch charge. She was 8 wide on the final turn and 10th in a 10-horse field at the 8th pole. But she posted a third consecutive graded stakes win. She sprinted 6 furlongs, 108 and 2 to take the Grade 3 winning color of stakes at Churchill on May 30, and 7 furlongs and 121 flat to win the Grade 1 Humana Distaff, also at Churchill. Prior to that, bred in Kentucky by J.C. Davis Farm and trained by Dale Roman, Sassy Image has earned over $804,000. Broken Vow is the sire of 4 Grade 1 stakes winners, Sassy Image, Unbridled Bell, Cotton Blossom, Broken Wedding. They win at the highest level. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Barry and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy.
Dr. Byers, have you seen where the Breeders' Cup races, the two-year-old races, are going to run without Salix? Drug, with nothing. This year?
Yeah.
13.
Bud?
They're going to start it in 2013.
They're aiming for everything, but this year they're starting with the two-year-old races.
Are they?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well,
always going to hem and haw here.
Yeah, I certainly have some opinions on this. I think, again, I've said in the past that we're treating the better and racing industry perceptions and sometimes not really thinking very hard about the horse. And there, in my opinion, there's nobody on the planet that knows enough about whether we should or shouldn't. It's all opinions. But two-year-olds, you can get away with that because a five-year-old that started bleeding or has been bleeding, it's a different story. He's not going to be in that race.
That's there, right.
So, and that's why a lot of the horses from Europe get shipped over here. They start to bleed during performance. And
I hadn't thought about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of European horses come over here because they can use Salix, and
keep their jobs.
Yeah, and a two-year-old again. We've talked about bleeders in the past, and it's a wear and tear lesion that is basically not understood how they get to that point. A couple of things that we do appreciate is that it's actually a micro clots that build up in the back of the lung. It's not bleeding. They rupture the vessels is what happens. So then over time they get varicosities back there, just like varicose veins.
Yeah.
And so when they reach that point, they're almost impossible to control. And again, the fact that you've got a five-year-old that may be a bleeder, for him to become a five-year-old has been that they've had the ability to slow it down medically.
Yeah.
And so, and we just don't know. I say to everybody, there's nobody on the planet. It sounds good. It sounds wonderful to say, you know, this sport is clean. And we all know that the efforts for people to make it clean are worthwhile. But we've had this before in New York. You know, we had hay, oats, and water for a long time in New York. And and then that regressed back to where they could medicate finally because they hit that wall, and now it's regressing back to the same thing.
It's once again unintended consequences.
Exactly.
People pass this stuff, and it's like the light bulb ban. That's just insane.
Well, it is, and I think I appreciate the mindset of those that want to create positive changes within the industry. But again, the horse is a deaf mute in this whole game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to do right by the animal, and
there's more. It's not only the Salix. We had a little horse that was a gelding a few years back. Well, more than a few. But, you know, he wasn't worth two dead flies.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we gave him some, we call it equipoise. It was just a little testosterone, you know. But we were just putting back what we'd taken away.
Right.
And then he was very competitive.
Right.
You know, you
know. They got skinny.
Yeah. But we ended up winning a bunch of races with this little horse.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't going to win without it. And I thought, you know, gee whiz, what did that hurt, you know?
Well, I think that's a good point, because if you really talk about race day performance,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of systems, body systems, that can go wrong. And, you know, they tie up their muscles, they bleed, obviously, from the lungs, and they can get stage fright. They blow it in the paddock. We want to have new owners. Well, that's a discouraging thing to train and train and train, and then come race day, one of those wheels comes off the.
Right.
So, you know, it's a complicated issue. I had a long conversation with an AAEP representative, and looking for some answers, looking for some opinions, and we're just not smart enough to call those opinions credible. I think that's my opinion.
Your opinion.
My opinion.
Well, and we were talking about this last week, and it seems to me if there's 10 horses in a race and they're all on Salix, what's the difference? They're all running on it?
Nobody's well, I think if you, and I will go back to two-year-olds, if you've got 10 two-year-olds on Salix, we're not treating a medical condition. And Ursula, you said before that if a horse has been scoped and recognized to have blood,
right,
then he ought to have a certificate and he can be treated.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think that looking up on that chart and everybody's on medication, that's a bad message. I mean, we're trying to clean up racing, and yet if you look in a couple of our publications, well, one of our publications, there's an ad for an EPO substitute that you can buy over the counter, no prescription, an EPO. But whether it works or not, why are you buying it?
Yeah,
buying it to because you're going to enhance performance. And there's a huge difference between our understanding about enhancing performance versus normalizing the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And the best we know when we give Salix, we are trying to normalize that horse. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference. So, anyway, again, back to opinions.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Like what they use in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean,
come on. You know, talk about performance enhancing and.
Yeah, yeah,
they get shots for everything, and geez.
Well, if you look at the one with the cleanest reputation, probably out there is the efforts of the Olympics and Olympic committees make. But how many of those are scrutinized and, yeah, and that person that had allergies and he goes to a different area to compete.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't you think that person's going to take everything they can possibly take in order to normalize?
Right.
Have their best performance. Yeah.
Exactly.
But they can verbalize their problems and they can have advice and make choices.
Yeah.
The horse doesn't get that. We're trying to decide for them. It's a little bit tough.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. Well, we're not going to settle that issue anytime soon. Let me take a break, Doc, and we'll
okay.
see what your subject is today.
Okay.
He does our vet subject. We just
we sit here in awe and wonder.
Yeah, it's all them big words. Well, in 2011, sales 2 year olds by Mizzen Mass sold for an average of $103,000. Keep that in mind when you see a yearling by Mizzen Mass enter the sales ring. They sell well because horsemen are well aware that he sires runners. They remember the likes of Grade 1 stakes winner Mass Trick, Grade 1 stakes winner Midships, graded stakes winners Jaboom, Madeo, Strike the Bell, C-Speed, Tropical Life, and that list just keeps growing. Over 40 stakes horses to date at major tracks from coast to coast on every type of racing service, in sprints and around two turns, and in seven different countries. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 stakes sprinting on the dirt, graded stakes around two turns, and he's passing on that versatility. He stands at Judmont Farm with a young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. He's by Unbridled Song out of the Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. Inquiries are Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, the list of superior runners raised by associates of McCauley Brothers just keeps growing, and last week's racing, no exception. The winner of the Grade 2 Carryback Stakes at Calder, Indiana, was bred by the Diamond A Racing Corporation. Dreamy Kid, winner of the Grade 2 Swap Stakes at Hollywood Park, was bred by Robert S. Evans and trained at Trackside Farm by Tom Evans. The Barbaro Stakes at Delaware was won by Awesome Bet, bred by Phillips Racing Partnership and raised at Darby Dan Farm. At Woodbine, the Grade 2 Dan Smartley Stakes winner, Never Retreat, was bred by the partnership of Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. And yet another stakes winner in Canada, Embellished, winner of the Chariot Chaser Stakes, was bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. Congratulations from McCauley Brothers, the only feed mill in Kentucky producing products exclusively for the horse. To learn more about the McCauley products, call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. For July 9 at Lone Star, the $50,000 Valor Stakes was won by Joy's Pleasure, filly from the first crop by Taste of Pleasure. Joy's Paradise has won 8 races to date. She's placed in 3 other stakes, and she's earned almost $200,000. Joy's Pleasure and Stakes Place Queenland are just 2 of 25 winners from the first crop by Taste of Paradise, and those 25 winners have won at 19 different tracks. Now, runners from his second crop are posting wins also at Belmont, at Turfway, at Parx, at Indiana Downs, at Aqueduct, wherever they're asked to run. Taste of Paradise won the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 2 San Diego Handicap, and the Grade 2 Vernon D. Underwood Stakes. He won the ACAC Handicap. He placed in 5 more stakes, 4 graded, including a head loss, in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint. One of 72 stakes winners by the classic winner Conquistador Cielo. Taste of Paradise stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, happy tears are in both eyes. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies.
Dr. Doug Byers, first I've neglected to ask you this, and it's very, very important. I wanted to ask you right up front was, how was your vacation?
I shouldn't be back here.
Well, how about that, Jackie? Yeah. He'd rather be in the Barbados than with us.
Well, we stayed at the Sandy Lane, and it is just you'd be spoiled for life.
Really?
So yeah, and we wound up there through the connection of Mr. Magger Coolmore, and so we had a wonderful time.
Oh, I'm great.
Couldn't be better.
Look at the tan.
Yeah.
That's not a farmer's tan. That's not a vet tan. That's the real thing.
Anybody looking for a great place to go hide away and recharge your batteries, go to Barbados and go to the Sandy Lane.
Boy, it takes a lot of charging for me.
It takes a lot of bucks.
Well, it's so nice, it's exponential. You'll recharge faster.
Okay. All right. Well, what's going on?
Well, back to reality here. I got a phone call middle of the week from a client, a farm manager, and he says, I got one of our best mares. I'm out looking at her in the field, and she didn't look right, and blowing like crazy and sweating. And he said, brought her up to the barn, take a look at her, and he said she took forever to drag her up to the barn. And he said I gave her an alcohol bath, and I hosed her down. I said, what's she doing? He said, she's fine. She's fine now. So basically, even a broodmare out in a field, when we hit Monday or Tuesday's weather conditions, We can have a heat stroke or a heat exhaustion, and there's a difference between the two. Anytime what they call the heat index, and this is the same for people because horses are like people in some ways, but the heat index gets to be 107 or above is when you're at risk, and so are your horses. Now, I said people are like horses. Remember, we've talked about before that we can get rid of heat by sweating all over our body, and so can the horse. And they can dissipate that heat by the brain, which is the center that detects the temperature, called the hypothalamus, and it the blood that flows through the hypothalamus is regulated at a specific temperature. So if it starts to get too hot, the hypothalamus sends out a signal to all the blood vessels, says dilate. Okay, so then the muscles dilate and your veins stand out. And the signal says sweat. So then you begin to sweat. And horses and people can do that all over their body. Now, the respiratory system is the other way you get rid of it. So they start to blow. So they blow temperature off. Now, we've talked about horses being wonderful cold weather animals because the air that they pull in through their nose goes through this warming humidifier. But once they get overheated, they don't have a cooling part to their nose. So when they exhale, it really doesn't cool. So that system gets overwhelmed in extreme heat. Mm-hmm. Any time that begins to happen, then the horse can be dehydrated. So two mechanisms you have to have in place, or have two products, is basically water. Just like the physician on the radio, drink plenty of water, plenty of water. And then salt, because they have to have access to salt. And if they're out in that field and begin to sweat and they don't have a salt mechanism, they can go over to the water trough, but so goes salt, so goes water. So you have to have sodium in your bloodstream to hold the water, to hold the circulation. So if that system gets overwhelmed, then you get to be like that broodmare, and she goes into heat exhaustion. She's weak. She's a little bit dizzy, and that's where the people will do the same thing. They'll start to feel faint, and that happens. Now, you talk about the mechanisms for that are greater in the horse and in people. What about that dog in the car? He's only got one mechanism. He sweats through his nose, and he pants like a dog, so his efficiency factor is much lower. So he can be in that car, and in 20 minutes, 15 minutes, he can cook, and so that begins to happen. So anyway, if they have their regulation. Now, when we had the Rolexes here 10 years ago, they developed these sprayers where the horses go through a spray to cool them down.
What are you doing to race?
During their performance.
Performance, yeah.
Because what do you do when you've got 107 heat index? You cancel racing, which we've done, or you have a means to help them thermal regulate. Well, if it's 107 degree heat index, almost every calendar event, if you want, is going to be at risk. So a lot of times they will get canceled. We've canceled racing, you know, because it's just been too hot. But again, the horse can take it, but then as soon as that performance, usually can take it, but once the performance is over, you hose him down, you sponge him, you put him through those misters, you recognize that he has potential to kind of silently go into this heat, from heat exhaustion to heat stroke. And when he goes into heat stroke, obviously he's demented, he's got real issues. He's not sweating anymore. He should be, but he's poured it out. So then the vessels do the opposite. They start to constrict down to confine the circulation because they're dehydrating faster than they can keep up with. So you take a horse, and we well recognize in this industry, and we've talked about before, anhydrosis, where there are horses that are non-sweaters. So what do you do with him performance?
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, so there are drugs, and nothing's 100%, but if you know you got a non-sweater, then that's something you take into consideration. Now, a lot of non-sweaters are horses that have washed out terribly during an event, and then they come back 2 weeks later, they're all clinically fine, everything looks good. But they exhausted their sweat glands, and
well,
so they have to be replenished.
Hmm.
And so, again, we give them medications and mostly electrolytes and certain drugs that help them build their sweat glands back up.
Okay, so then the condition of non-sweating condition in a horse is not a permanent condition. It's
it can be. It can be.
It
can go to the point that anhydrosis or non-sweaters were first recognized when quarter horses were sent to South America to work the cattle. Mm-hmm. And they'd get down there and they would overheat and become and they recognized that they weren't sweating. And so they were anhydrotic. But then they wouldn't come back to sweating. So there are horses that damage to the sweat glands is so severe that they almost have to be in an air conditioned stall, and
wow.
You provide extra. Now, those horses, the quarter horses years ago that would go to South America, they die. They go into heat stroke. And when you get into severe heat stroke, the oxygenation of the lining of all the vessels and within the brain begins to die or deteriorate. And so you decrease all these, you get what we call super oxygenation and oxygen radicals that burn up the tissue. You go into a syndrome that I've mentioned before called disseminated intravascular coagulation, where you're getting many blood clots throughout your system.
Yeah.
Your kidneys fail, your liver fails, and that's multiple organ insult. And then you either recover from it with significant damage or you die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it. So what do you do for these horses if you recognize they're in heat stroke? Well, that farm manager did exactly the right thing. By the time you cooled her down, she was normal. And you want to recognize that, you know, we'll watch her a little closer in the future. Maybe she's more susceptible than the other 10 mares that were out in that field.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're headed back to Hot One tomorrow. So
all week.
Yeah.
All weekend.
Yeah, so we watch them. And again, when that heat index, it gets about 107. But you hose them. If you can, you take alcohol, because one of the heat dissipating mechanisms the alcohol provides is evaporation. Now, you want it. Take the heat away through evaporation, but you want to be sure there's plenty of moisture as well. So you do that. You ice them. And how do you ice them? You put an ice pack over their head, because if there's anything you want to protect in a severe heat stroke patient, it's the brain. Some people put ice. Veterinarians will put rectal sleeves and go to the convenience store and pack up ice in the rectal sleeves and strap them over the body. You know, put them over the head, withers, back anywhere they can, and sometimes even put ice into the rectum, cool those animals down. Now, you know, their temperatures may be 103, and they're blowing like a freight train, and they're not sweating like they should, and they're not handling it at all. But it's 103, and if they weren't blowing and they weren't doing that, it might be 108. Now, generally speaking, a temperature in a horse of 109 or above is heat stroke. You've gone from heat exhaustion to heat stroke. So they're in big trouble. Fans take away the heat. I mean, how much does this breeze coming through the window mean to us? So you dissipate that heat any way you can. You help that animal compensate. And, of course, once they've compensated, they'll look quite normal. And then afterwards you would say, well, am I going to wind up with a non-sweater? Well, one of the things that your veterinarian can do in a horse, and mostly performance horses, not broodmare is not going to need it. But if you say, well, this horse, and now you're gun-shy, blows a little bit too much after I gallop him, and you take his temperature, and if it keeps going up, he may not be sweating as much as he should. The veterinarian can take 1/10 of a cc of epinephrine, which is adrenaline, and inject it intradermal within the layer of the skin. And if he can sweat, he'll drip or show a line of sweat come down from that injection site. So that's a sweat test. And there's a couple other drugs that you can use similarly to check a horse for being a non-sweater.
What we used to do, and I can't remember who it was, somebody used to get a little warmer than a lot. We would have ice packs ready, if you remember. We'd stick them under the chin, under the throat latch, where there was, you could feel a pulse, under the middle of the girth, underneath, where you could also find a pulse, and on their withers, where anywhere I put a heart rate monitor, we put ice. Because supposedly the theory was, I don't know if it's true or not, that there's blood going through that artery close to the surface, and that would help cool it down. That's what we did. Don't you remember doing
that? Yeah, I remember doing it.
Yeah. Plus hosing them and all, but putting ice packs on the point of where you could find a pulse.
Right. The bottom line to the whole conversation is that this is, just like they say on the radio when you listen to it, and this is the radio, but it's a preventative issue.
Right.
So if it's going to be that 107 out there, you're going to think about this before the competition, whatever you're going to be doing, you're going to know plenty of water, plenty of salt, you know, and those are things that will be more preventative than anything
else. Well, right by the finish line of the river and right by the finish line down at Ellis, the summer racing, they have hoses.
Remember that time we used to put baby oil in our rinse water? For the horses, you know, man, it'd make the hair just, oh, I mean, it would
like
really
shine. Like somebody had really
shined. Yeah. We ran an old horse up at Churchill one day, and it was one of those real hot days, and they were throwing buckets of water on him, you know, when he came back. And this old boy threw this water up on this horse after we'd taken the tack off and the jockey off, and it beat it up on him, you know. And he looked in that bucket like, what the heck is this, you know. Do you remember that, Jackie?
Yeah, I remember that. He was shocked.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the point is, if a broodmare stand out in a field can start to show you some signs, then our performance issues are very important, you know. And let's go back to our Lasix, you know. You got that horse, and you say, do I want to give him Lasix?
On a hot day.
On a day like this.
Yeah.
So, because what's Lasix do? It's going to take away his sodium
and
pull out his water.
Right. Yeah. We never ran on it, but there you are. Did we ever?
We never did run on
never
Lasix.
Never ran on it.
No.
Didn't need it.
I always thought it was after 4 or 5 starts, it was debilitating anyway. So.
I think there's a lot of trainers that feel that way.
Is there?
Yeah.
See, mine was just a guess. I didn't know.
That kind of thing ought to be left up. Trainers ought to have a say in that because they're the ones that have paid to get the horse there. And if it can't run without it, there goes that horse. And yet another unwanted.
Well, I got one more question for you.
Yeah.
Did Susan stay down in Barbados, or did she come back with you?
I'm going to have to check.
Good for her.
Oh, Susan, did you hear that?
She had a wonderful time.
Well, that's great.
So, yeah.
Good for you.
Well, that's fun. Wish I could have gone with you. You wouldn't have had as good a time, old. But, all right. Thanks, Doc.
All right.
We appreciate it. Well, DeHer was retired late in the 2008 breeding season, and from a small test crop, he's represented by just 6 2-year-olds of 2011. Well, that was enough to demonstrate that desires to go into sire runners. The first to start was Gypsy Rose in a $50,000 maiden special at Keeneland, and she not only won by 7.5 lengths, set a new track record in the process. Her connections were so high on her that they sent her to Great Britain. And in her second start, it was at Royal Ascot in Group 2 Stakes, and she ran very well. Just got beat 3.5 lengths for all the money, and that was her first start on grass, and after a pretty long trip, it too. Well, this year, there will be many more opportunities to purchase a yearling by DeHer. And when you see one walking to the sales ring, remember Gypsy Rose, and remember that DeHer ran a mile in 1:33.3 to win the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, and 1:34.1 to take the Grade 2 Jerome, and that he's a full brother to Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar by Awesome Again out of stakes winner Irish Cherry. Awesome Again, of course, the sire of 7 2011 stakes winners, including Grade 1 stakes winner Game On Dude. Described as freaky fast by Steve Haskin, DeHer stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack and Leather, best tack shop in Kentucky. Well, probably one of the best in the country. I know for a fact that they sell more halters at Quillen Tack than any other tack shop in the country. And they've got great products down there, great leather. Everything looks good. I just went over and bought some turnout halters just the other day.
Yeah, Ralph wants people to get on Facebook and tell what their experience has been as customers, and they're getting a lot of positive stuff, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't they? It's really a great tack shop, and I was just in there the other day, and those are good-looking. Even the turnout halters look good.
Yeah, they're real nice. Everything they've got in there is nice. They've got all sorts of stuff, and now it's get your tack out and clean it up. It's about time to start breaking yearlings. And they can fix anything you've got that needs fixing. Actually, one day he put up a halter, a picture of a halter somebody brought in. It looked like one of ours. It looked like it had been run over and dirty and everything. And they fix it up, you know, and it looks real nice. So it's a good thing. It's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. He's at 1929 Main Street in Paris. And if you want an 800 number, it's 729-0592, but you really need to go to Quillen.com and get a load of the web page and their
stuff. Fun to go in there too. In fact, they get tours in there now.
The
tour buses are stopping because it's such a great place, and they think that people enjoy it and learn a little something.
Oh yeah, and they've got so much so many gifty kind of things you can get to.
And nice people to talk to. So
yeah,
that's Quillen Tack. Well, Infinite Resource, winner July 12th of the $100,000 San Juan County Commissioner's Handicap, is the 104th stakes winner, 14th 2011 stakes winner by Distorted Humor. That ranks him right at the top for number of 2011 stakes winners. Infinite Humor was bred in Kentucky by Grade 1, Tony Holmes, Dr. Walter's Inn, sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $225,000. Distorted Humor is ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list 5 times, among the top 5 3 times, and he's sired the winners of many of the most coveted stakes in North America, including all 3 of the 3-year-old classics. One of the most important of Distorted Humor's 104 stakes winners is Sharp Humor. Important because he is well on his way to sire success. He is the leading second crop sire of stakes horses with 13, and he was the leading Kentucky-based freshman sire of 2-year-old winners last year with 25. Distorted Humor, a great sire by any measure, and his successful young son, Sharp Humor, both stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. Watch for yearlings by the Windstar Stallions at the major sales, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you'd never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true, dear. Run that body one more time. Now I can read.
Well, sit down.
Why am I supposed to do it?
There's a new wind blowing in the past. I know I'm heading for fall. But you say it's only in my mind. Run that body one more time.
Well, my guest this week is 15 minutes early. Eric Hamelback from down at Edina Springs, which I'm proud to say now Edina Springs is in Bourbon County. Which, how long have you all been down there, Nary?
The farm's going to be there going on 4 years now. So it was put up essentially, all 2,400 acres went up in about a year. Yeah. And Mr. Stronach's vision and the way he laid the farm out with aerial maps, and they took to it. So he had several different construction crews being managed by a great guy named Matt Baker, oversaw the whole project, mm-hmm. and it seemed like a short period of time, but it was an awful lot of work went into it. So.
4 years. Now, as well as I remember, and I think I'm right about that, your old place was in two divisions, wasn't it? Two different locations.
Actually, three.
Okay.
We had Mr. Stronach's first farm that he built was right there on Versailles Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually in between Brookdale and Ashford.
Mm-hmm.
He built that in 89-90. There were three barns there. And plans were to build a stallion division, do the whole works right there. And that was going to be it. That's all he was going to have. Well, in the meantime, the old Margot farm became available, and he purchased that. That had a standing and existing stallion barn, mm-hmm. so he purchased that and started the stallion complex there. And then in addition to that, he bought 500 acres right across the street, almost right across the street. And we still call that the annex, and we actually still own that. And I put yearlings over there. So both of those farms were on Old Frankfort Pike, and then, of course, what we call affectionately the Route 60 farm is right there on Vales Road, Versailles Road. So.
Yeah. Now, one of those was on Leestown, wasn't it?
No, sir, not on Leestown. Just those three.
Oh, two on right Old together Frank, there.
Two on Old Frankfort Pike.
Now, I remember
Pike.
They were separate.
Well, years ago, we actually owned Chatillon, so the piece that's behind basically where Chief's Crown and those horses got started. Right there now, which Gainsborough purchased from Mr. Stronach, and then he built the annex. So we had that old stallion barn over there, and we used to run our single mares over there. So that was back 97, 98.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can remember back that far. What are you laughing about? Well, that's... So this is 2,400 acres, you said it was?
2,400 acres.
And it's all together now, so that'll save you some problems.
Yes, sir. Yeah, no, it's nice to have all the brood mares in one spot, all the foals in one spot, and still have a little bit of a flex room, put some yearlings over in Versailles.
Yeah.
So it gives us ample space right now. Mm-hmm. And we still have the farm, of course, in Florida, does all our breaking and training. You know, it's pushing, it's about 3,000 acres, primarily... down there now, all breaking and training goes on, and we also have a very large cattle division. A lot of people aren't aware that Mr. Stronach's very much into cattle.
I didn't realize that.
He has made a strong commitment to the Florida cattlemen's operations down mm-hmm. there, and basically with the goal to raise what he calls grass-fed beef, all-natural beef, and so it's a it's a big part of the operation down there.
Do you have any part with that?
I do not. Yeah. We do raise some replacement heifers here, mm-hmm. farm. We have about 130 mama cows on the farm here that I specifically use for pasture rotation for parasite control, and we kind of move them around the front side of the farm in the spring, summer, and then we put them in the back side of the farm in the winter.
For parasite control.
Yes, sir. I learned, of course, I wish Dr. Byers had hung around, but... basically, in college, I had several good professors. Parasitology was one of their specialties, I guess would be the right word. But we learned that because of the way the stomachs, the four stomach system of the cattle, it has a benefit to rotate these cattle around because it will help control your parasite population and basically become an end host for them, so there's not as much shed throughout the pastures.
How about that?
So,
well, I'm glad I've learned something today. You can leave now, Eric.
All right.
Well, that's why the French go nuts. They used to come over here and say, where are the
bullocks?
That's right.
Yeah.
Because they turned them out with cows, with horses, and they did that a lot. Now you know.
Now I know, yeah.
Yeah, we actually use the cattle to really, it's a calming thing for our weanlings. We really feel like, and we've been doing for a few years and started really in Florida, using the cattle as a calming effect for new weanlings. And it's one of the reasons we try to put them on the front side of the farm in the spring, summer, is basically we'll start weaning at that period of time during the summer, which we just recently started. And it, you know, the cattle are very Pavlovian. They have a very good routine, and they're very calm most of the time, so it rubs off on our babies. So.
Yeah, well, that's good. I never figured that out. We used to put an old gilding out with them or something.
Yeah, exactly,
you know.
Judas.
Yeah, especially Judas. The fillies, you know. The fillies wouldn't come up, but they'd follow an old gilding up, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let me take a little break. I'll get right back to you. I think, is it time to take a little break? I guess it is, yeah. There were two yearlings by Malibu Moon in last Tuesday's Fazy Tipton sale. Kenny McPeak purchased one for $165,000. John Ferguson the other for $120,000. Your next opportunity to buy a Malibu Moon comes in August. That's at Saratoga. There were also three yearlings in the sale from the first crop by Inner Mischief, and all three were sold, averaging $78,333, compared to the sales average of just over $69,000. The buyers were Deborah Easter, agent, who bid $125,000 for a filly, Pike Racing, and leading trainer Dale Romans. And first crop yearlings by Tis Wonderful were also well received, selling for $130,000, $85,000, $85,000, $80,000, with the top price youngster going to Bob Fell, agent for Sagamore Farm, and the astute horseman Cot Camel purchasing a Tis Wonderful colt for his Dogwood Stables. Getting back to Malibu Moon, he was represented by his 53rd stakes winner on July 8th, when Malibu Wynn won the Northern Fling Stakes at Presque Isle. He's a top 10 sire again this year. For success on the tracks and in the sales arena, look to the Spendthrift Stallions, with the Grade 1 stakes winners Arch, 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 and Patio Prado joining the roster for 2012. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffey. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit about my buddy Ron Wallace over at Equine Farm Management. What he does, he develops horse farms for people and I'll help you. If you've got a horse farm, you're not real happy with the way things are going, so that you'll be able to enjoy the place a little bit better. Ron started this business in 1995, so he's no newcomer. It's called Equine Farm Management, and he's had plenty of experience in farm management with Judmont Farms, Three Chimneys, for instance. And he's worked with many of the top horse farms in Kentucky. One of them is, as we're driving from here toward Paris, is Hurricane Hills Farm on Lexington. Beautiful place. And it's he set that up right from scratch. And, he, of course, Live Oak Stud down in Ocala is one of his projects, and Autumn Winds Farm, and Paladis Investments up in Elmont, New York, Anglewood Farm in Versailles, so he's a Crown Colony, and what's the good one? Oh, Summer Wind. It's another beautiful place. Yeah, he's set that up, you know. So what he'll do, he'll come in, he can start right from scratch, He knows all the good contractors around here. He knows he can set you up with a top-flight accountant, hire your help, manage a farm until you're ready to, for your own manager, whatever you want. And he does a first-class job, got great references, and it's equinefarmmanagement.com, equinefarmmanagement.com, and it's Ron Wallace. I'll give you a cell number, 621-1655.
Run, run,
Eric Hannelbeck from over at Adena Springs, and you live on a farm, and you say most of the farm help lives on a farm.
Yes, sir. All of our managers live on the farm. We have 13 employee homes, and then we have 9 manager homes. So we have quite an extensive population of our crew has homes there on the farm. And it's, of course, beneficial, and most people know where we are out Cane Ridge, and it's a pretty good haul for most people. So it's certainly beneficial to have everybody there, and it's really been a mandate of our protocol for years. When I started with Frank in 97, the management has always lived on the farm, and it's certainly a plus for the farm, but the way we see it from a management side, it's almost mandatory, because our jobs are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we love it. We certainly want to be there, and we've got an operation that deserves the best with an owner that gives us the best, so we're going to do the best we can. Mm-hmm.
What's the size of your broodmare bear?
Right now we're about 200 mares, a little over 200 mares.
Right there?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. And that I think it's drastically down from what we were. 3 years ago we were up to 763 mares.
Good Lord, have mercy.
And then that November, we entered about 323 in November.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And Frank has for years, and a big part of the program has always been making stallions, and that's the way you do it. He quite frankly would mate, you know, if a stallion was getting 30 outside contracts, you know, he might buy 40 mares to put to him. Or if all of a sudden he bought 40 mares to put to him, and all of a sudden we had 90 outside contracts, we'd pull 20 mares off and put them on somebody else. So he was committed like nobody I've ever seen or certainly worked for to make the stallions. And in order to do that, you had to breed a lot of horses. And, you know, the innovation of the broodmare sale that we have for so many years, the private sale, we called it, I started in 98, we basically sold all Adena Springs mares in full to Adena Springs stallions, and then there was a return breed back that you would get, no guarantee, but a return breed back for that mare to one of our stallions, typically selected, but, you know, at the time we would adjust, if you wish to do so, to a different stallion. But that was, again, that was Frank's way of making sure that his stallions were going to get mares, and, of course, ultimately made the likes of Dutch Gold, Awesome Again, Wild Rush, who's now in Japan. So it's definitely paid off. Definitely paid off.
Now, y'all breed a lot in Canada.
Absolutely. One of our biggest parts of our program is we try very hard to foal as many as we can in Canada. And we've been doing that for as long as I can remember. The breedback restrictions, there aren't any in Canada. So if you drop an Awesome Again in Canada and he hits the ground there, you are Canadian bred. So at the time, we didn't breed a lot up there, so we would take them up there. They would foal. They would be raised till about 2 weeks of age. We would select 5 mares to go up and bring 5 mares and foals back down. So we go through this rotation throughout the year, and we still continue to do that. It's a little different now because we have actually now built a stallion station there on the farm at Adena Springs North and Aurora. And now the mares that go up there, if Frank selects them to be mated up there, obviously they'll stay there. So we have a limited space up there. We don't have the ability to foal as many up there because there are obviously some now that are staying for the breeding season. And once they get in foal, if they're in foal at 45 days, we might bring them back to Kentucky. And then maybe if the opportunity arises, send some other foaling mares up. So this year, we were probably about 70-30 in our foaling crop that fold in Kentucky and then 30% up in Canada.
How about in Florida?
We have, for the past 2 years, not fold anything in Florida. But, of course, we had several stallions start down there, including Macho Uno.
Mm-hmm. He's up here now.
He is up here now, yes, sir. His first two-year-old Kentucky crop will be 2 year olds this year. Mm-hmm. And with the decline, I guess would be a good word to say, of the breeding operations in Florida, Frank made the financial decision to move the stallions out of there. So at the present time, for the past 2 years, we have not foaled anything in Florida, nor do we have any stallions there. Thus, we don't have any mares there. So it's really just a yearling and training farm now.
Okay. I'll be right back. It's the top of the hour. I've got to have a station break. And, of course, there's always a commercial to do. Thank goodness.
Yeah, keep going.
Well, Kentucky, Florida, New York, you will find the nation's finest facilities managed by world-class horsemen to take care of all your equine needs at Vinery. Boarding, breeding, sales prep, breaking, training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services, they do it all at Vinery. And if you want to have fun racing, ask about Vinery's very successful racing partnerships. Now let me introduce you to Steve Castanola, Vinery's Director of Bloodstock Services. Steve has quite a background in the business and is well-equipped to help you in many areas: evaluations, appraisals, representation at auction, portfolio management, mating advice. Well, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, Steve Castanola is your man. Just call the office at 455-9388, log on to the website at vinery.com, or stop by the office at 4241 Spur Road. You're always welcome. Ask for Steve or John Gasper or Francis Rillihan or Grant Williamson. And that website again is vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
$300,000 Delaware Oaks was won by St. John's River, or a three-year-old filly by Include. And that same day at Caller, the Grade II $200,000 Carryback Stakes went to Indiano, a three-year-old colt. He's by Indian Charlie. Bred by Dee Dee McGeehee at her Heaven Trees Farm, St. John's River finished a fast-closing second in the Grade I Kentucky Oaks in her previous start. She's never been out of the money in six starts, and she's earned over $500,000. St. John's River's Delaware Oaks win follows by just 5 days the victory of Her Smile, yet another three-year-old filly by Include, in the Grade I $250,000 per hour stakes at Belmont. Include has sired four Grade I stakes winners, plus six others, which have placed in Grade I stakes. Indiana was bred by the Diamond A Racing Corporation, and he's posted seven wins from 10 starts. The Grade II Carryback was his second straight stakes win. Indian Charlie's the sire of the winners of four Eclipse Awards, and his 2011 sales two-year-olds have averaged over $206,000, number one among all those with 10 or more to sell. Include Indian Charlie, proven size of Grade I stakes winners, stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do.
All righty, we're starting the second hour now of Horse Tales, and I'm talking to Eric Hamelbeck, the manager of Edina Springs. Big. How many Eclipse Awards have you guys won now?
We're up to 16 now with last year.
Is that all? Geez, did you have a bad year last year or something?
Well, we were fortunate enough to get our seventh Breeders' eclipse last year for Mr. Stronach. So really topped off with Stately Victor winning the Bluegrass last year, and that was a very proud moment for all of us. And, you know, we've had such a blessing to work for him and Mrs. Stronach and to be able to raise as many good horses as we have. And, you know, our four Breeders' Cup wins were all with homebreds, which, you know, it's a special thing. And one of the most special days in my life outside of my children being born was 2000 when we won with Macho Uno and Perfect Sting back-to-back. So, you know, and in 1997 when I went to work for Frank, we also in 2000 had Red Bullet win the Preakness for us, and he was just a super horse. And for me, just starting with Frank, I actually interviewed with him right after the Belmont, so I was pretty nervous. But having raised Red Bullet in my first yearling crop, it was very special. And he's probably still the biggest sentimental favorite in my mind, especially in the barn. So. Yeah.
And when Awesome again won the Classic, because you all owned him, didn't you?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Won with him in the Queen's Plate, of course, and then went on the following year to win six straight races. You know, didn't have the fortunate opportunity to get Horse of the Year that year. Skipaway did. But he turned him around and sired Ghost Zapper and got the Classic and the Horse of the Year. So, Awesome Again has been, I think, nobody would argue one of the superior stallions in the world to this point. You know, definitely puts him up there with Smart Strike and certainly King Mambo, AP Indy. You know, you have now 11 Grade 1 winners, and I think he's up to 11 or 12 millionaires. Game On Dude, even though he got beat by the other dude, still became a millionaire the other day with his second place finish, and I believe that's Awesome Again's 12th. So he's been definitely a stallion that will produce a serious racehorse.
Now, you all sell some yearlings at auction, too. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, one of the big, again, from the commercial side, both mares and young horses, Frank made a decision several years ago that, you know, he wants to try to put as many into the commercial market as possible. Now, he's not going to, and a lot of people are smiling when I say this, he's not going to give them away. Mm-hmm. He puts a fair reserve, but he's going to reserve them. And if your opinion of the reserve is that the horse isn't worth as much, well, in all honesty, it's Frank's horse. That's the way we see it. So, but we took seven, actually, just to the July sale here.
How'd you do?
We did okay. We sold three and kept four. You know, again, the percentage-wise is probably about where we typically are. But we sold three very nice Ghost Zappers, two of which I was very proud of, the way they presented themselves there. One out of the mare, Heartfelt, first foal, brought a 75,000, and Dearest Trixie, another first foal, you know, and then just Breezing. We had a good crop there. And then three we kept. We had a very nice homebred orientate from my friends up at Gainesway. Mr. Neal's one of my favorite people. We had a Giacomo, ironically enough, that was outstanding. As far as our management team judging horses, he was one of the best yearlings we had, and he really prepped out nice. Frank really liked him, reserved him at what we thought was a fair price, didn't quite meet that, and so we took him home. Ghost Zapper Philly, that, again, with our Canadian operation, she was Canadian-bred and Ontario-registered, so very beneficial to our racing program. We ended up bringing her home out of the mare Caracorum Starlet, greatest stakes horse of over 200-something thousand. So, you know, we did good. And then we also brought back an Awesome Again that was athletically, again, one of the nicest horses we had, but didn't quite meet the reserve, even though he was reserved well under what the yearling averages are for Awesome Again. Again, just playing on to the fact that Frank's not going to put an astronomical reserve on there, but he puts what he thinks is going to be a fair price.
Yeah. So. What did you think of that sale?
You know, in all honesty, I thought it was a good sale. I get asked quite a bit, especially from publications. I almost feel like sometimes for me it's not fair to comment because I, working for Adena, we don't quote-unquote sell the horses for a living. And in our side of it, in our consignment, if if we don't sell them, we take them to the races. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, we just go to the races with them, and that's really the biggest part of our program. And you know, these guys like a good friend of mine is Mr. Craig Vanderoff and Kerry Koth and those guys that are in that business to sell. You know, it's a tough game right now. Grant Williamson, who's a close friend of mine over at the Vinery, you know, they're in it to sell horses. And I think for the most part, talking to everybody, they were pretty pleased. You know, the numbers like they were even 4 years ago, they're just not going to be there anymore. And I think that from a standpoint of the way we look at from Adena, the racing purse is coming down to or getting closer to what you can buy a yearling for. Those days of buying a yearling for $250,000 and then taking it to the races and thinking you're going to get that money back, it's just not there. You know, so if you can get a good sound yearling that you know maybe you pay $80 to $100 or $60 to $80, mm-hmm. you've got a chance to make that money back now on the racetrack. And those big dollar stallions, and you see it with the stud fees. I mean, Mr. Stronach's no different. Every stallion station around has dropped stud fees. You know, 2 years ago, Austin McGinn was $150,000. This year, he's $50,000. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's the right thing to do. I think for the interest in the game and getting people involved, you've got to have a better equilibrium of what you buy horses for and what you can make for them at the racetrack.
Yeah. Got a couple of more things I want to ask you, but I got to take another break.
No problem.
The first foals by First Samurai raced to two last year, and they came out running. Four have won stakes, including a pair of graded stakes winners, and two others have placed in stakes. And the beat continues with the second crop. July 9 at Woodbine, Northern Passion, a two-year-old filly by First Samurai, won her first start in an open maiden special with a purse of $67,100. There you go, Eric. How's that for a maiden special? And the next day at Monmouth Park, another first-time starting filly by First Samurai, Baffle Me, won a $45,000 maiden special. There are more runners by First Samurai just waiting in the wings. His first crop stakes winners are Justin Phillip, winner of the Grade 2 Winnie Stevens at Belmont, and placed in the Grade 2 Jerome in the Grade 3 Bayshore. Let Me Go, winner of the Grade 3 Skylaville at Saratoga. Swift Warrior, winner of the $100,000 Rushaway Stakes at Turfway and placed in two stakes at Calder. And Trubbs, winner of the Black Gold Stakes down at the Fairgrounds. First Samurai by champion Sire Giant's Causeway won two Grade 1 stakes as a two-year-old. Grade 2 stakes at three, and he earned over $915,000. He stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, the first foal by Majestic Warrior yearlings, five were sold at the recent Fazy Tipton July selected sale. Horsemen like what they saw. The five sold for an average of $86,400, well above the sales average of under $70,000. And the top three brought $137,000, $110,000, and $100,000. A superior individual, Majestic Warrior, siring superior individuals. That's another reason why his book was full again this year. He has the numbers in his favor when his first foals reach the races next year. Majestic Warrior won the Grade 1 Hopeful as a two-year-old. He's the only juvenile male by AP Indy to win a Grade 1 stakes at a distance under a mile. And Majestic Warrior is out of the brilliant Dream Supreme by Seeking the Gold. Dream Supreme won six graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Test and the Grade 1 Ballerina, and earned over $1 million. And Her Dam won five graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Ballerina. It's a great family. Majestic Warrior at Coomore's Ashford Stud, home of the leading sire in North America for the past 2 years. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore.
I'm heading down the highway, happy tears in
the old time. All right, I'm talking to my friend Eric Amel. I guess you're still my friend after I gave you those bad horses in the...
Well, we were just happy you threw Macho or Mucho Macho Man in the mix there. So he was obviously our sentimental favorite. And Tim Reedvo works for Mr. Stronach on the Gulfstream side, on the racetrack side. So,
yeah,
he was flying there at the end. So,
yeah. Well, that's a game horse.
Yeah, no, he's a very game horse.
That's the reason I liked him. Yeah. I knew he was going to be close.
Yeah, you know, he's a good horse and continue to do well. I spoke to Tim the other day, and Kathy's just still very high on him, and their plans are to keep pushing along with him and give him a little time off just here at the racetrack, and, you know, he'll be back.
Where is he?
But he's in New York. I think she's got him at Belmont. I won't swear to that, but I think, hopefully I'm not saying too much, but I think they're pointing him maybe towards the Pennsylvania Derby, which ironically Macho Uno himself won.
Oh.
So, you know, if all goes well for the connections, and certainly Kathy is always going to do right by the horse, mm-hmm. and I think that's really going to be one of their points.
Yeah, what we're talking about, I was asked to handicap the Derby this year at the Rotary Club in Parrish, Kentucky.
Yeah, we got free eats.
Yeah, we got free food. And the horse I like was Scratch, and the horse I picked second pulled up lame. And I don't think they're going to ask me back next year.
No, we enjoyed it very much. The Rotary is a great organization there in Bourbon County. I'm happy to be a part of it. And no, we had a great time, though. That was the main thing.
It's a nice bunch.
It is a great
bunch. Nice. Yeah. Good group. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from Louisiana.
Well, you don't talk like that.
Well, the joke is my parents paid a lot of money for me to lose my accent. But no, I'm from a small cattle town, actually, in northern Louisiana called Frierson. Population about 800. Nobody knows.
Sounds wonderful.
But my grandfather was from Plaquemine Parish, so he was a deep south Cajun.
Really?
I grew up there, went to school there. Ended up graduating from LSU and brought out of Louisiana by my good friend Rich Decker. At the time, I was the yearling manager for Prestonwood Farm, so had a lot of great experiences over there. Probably met two men in my life that are non-related to me that meant more to me in my career, one of which is, to me, one of the greatest men I've ever met, Mr. Tex Cawthon. And then also, ironically enough, another farrier, Steve Simon, who's still out and about and around and working hard. And those two men in my young horseman days, especially being in Kentucky as a kid, they meant a lot to me. And still the Cawthon family means a lot to me, both Doug and Carrie especially. Doug and I, when I first moved up there, I can remember literally handed jogging yearlings around, long before there were Eurosizers, that's for sure, hand jogging yearlings around the paddock back in barn three. So, no, it's great memories. And, you know, moving here from Louisiana was, you know, something I always aspired to do. And
wanted to get out.
Are you leaving or are you going somewhere?
I really thought it was going somewhere. You know, I had the opportunity to work for Mr. Franks a little bit down there. Mr. Gene Schilling, who was a farm manager at the time, and worked for my cousin for many years, who still owns the largest private veterinary practice down there. And so he got a lot of opportunity to see and work on some great horses. And
was your family involved with horses?
Ironically, no, sir.
No.
No, we lived more or less on my uncle's cattle farm. My father wasn't really into horses. He was actually quite the car guy. And my mother worked for my uncle's hardwood floor company. So growing up, I laid gym floors from Arkansas to
funny.
South Louisiana.
Well,
to
on
East
your
Texas.
Knees, that's a good thing. That's good training.
Yeah. So we worked hard, and back during those days, the school boards made you cut the electricity off in the summer. So we're in those gyms working, and that was tough work, but enjoyed it and worked hard, and certainly felt like it. Helped my work ethic. So my uncle was quite the driver.
Well, what you came to Kentucky right out of school, you said?
I graduated in '93, and then I moved up
What'd you take? What degree?
My degree is in animal systems. I've got a minor in genetics and zoology, and so I did at one point more or less went through the pre-veterinary route, you know, thinking I wanted to be a veterinarian, but I had an advisor, Dr. Dennis French, probably, again, a great influence in my life, really taught me that I didn't need to be a veterinarian to be a good horseman. If I wanted to be a veterinarian, that was great. But I really took to the management side through Dr. French and through Randy Wright, who's still an equine manager down there at LSU, and Dr. Ralph Beadle. Ironically enough, I managed research herds at the vet school, okay. So I got to work with the veterinarians and actually used to train 12 head of horses on their treadmill for LASIK studies. I know Dr. Byers was talking about that there a little bit ago. And so it was more or less through my cousin, again, who's a veterinarian down there, that I got my interest. I remember thinking that my goal was to be a veterinarian and own my own cow-calf operation, and I went to work for him and set foot on Louisiana Downs, and that was it.
Oh, the end.
But yeah, Rich Decker brought me out, and to this day, Rich is one of my closest friends, and who still works for Mr. Preston now.
Yeah,
also
in Bourbon County. I see him out here.
Yeah, he's a great man, great guy, great influence. So he really helped me, and I had talked to him, but even before I graduated from school, and actually interviewed with three people. I interviewed with Rich. I interviewed with Dan Rosenberg, and I interviewed with Tom Goncharoff, all before I actually graduated. And then I was working the meet at Oaklawn Park, and Rich Decker called me and said my, at the time, yearling manager, John O'Mara, was going to move on to Spendthrift, and did I want to come work for them? And I said, hell, I'll be there.
That's great.
That's great, yeah. Yeah, we had Frank Betancourt on the show last week. You know Frank?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten to meet him.
Nice guy.
Yes, he is. Very nice guy.
Yeah, the horse is, nice so I see Mr. Frank, that's Al.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. Art, excuse me.
Yeah, well, I just started with an A.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn close for me, isn't it? Yeah.
No doubt. No, Mr. Art, he's still great to be around, still very appreciative for the opportunity that Rich and the Prestons gave me, and it really...
So that's where you started out?
That's where I started out, and yes, sir, and then I started in Farm League basketball playing with Sergio De Sosa, who's now the managing partner over at Hiddenbrook. He, at the time, was the yearling manager for Adina and worked for Dan Hall, and he and I played basketball together, and when he got his farm manager opportunity with Stonerside, he said, hey, man, you need to throw your hat in. And so I got the opportunity to talk to Dan and interviewed with Dan, and he narrowed it down to a couple of people, and then we interviewed with Frank, and I got the yearling manager position there. And then not long after that, was promoted to assistant manager, and then went on from there. I know you talked about Ron Wallace. Ron Wallace, I consider influential in my life because at the time, 2002, you had mentioned Live Oak. They were looking for a general manager. I was worked quite extensively with Ron, almost like a headhunter. They would call me, and if they needed people, being on the farm manager club board for several years, I'd give them some names, and he called me one day. Actually, I was headed to play polo over at the horse park, and he said, the owner wants to talk to you. And I said, well, I don't know about that. So I did talk to Mrs. Weber and was given the opportunity from 2002 to 2005 to be her general manager. We did some great things. I bought In the Gold for her. I bought Around the Cape. I bought a really nice El Prado filly they called El Runaway. Mm-hmm. I bought a Lemon Drop Kid filly for her. Her name's I'm drawing a blank on her name. But anyway, we bought some really nice horses for her. Was with a good team, Michael Youngs and Ron Wallace, and the management staff that she had in place down there. And then I decided to go out on my own, move back up here with my wife. We bought a 30-acre farm in Versailles. I was helping Mr. Jackson. He was kind of getting into the business, and he bought that farm. We were talking about the Route 60 farm. And so I was helping them get their yearling operation going, and April, so the April 2007, Mike Rogers, who's the business manager for Frank and has been since 98, called me and said, Frank wants you to come back. And I thought long and hard about it. You know, we just bought property, and at the end of the day, Frank's been amazing to Deborah and I, my wife, and our kids. And so we decided we'd do it, but he wanted me to move back to Florida. So I'd only been here back here for 8 months.
Oh, gee.
And credit to my wife. She could have told me no, but, you know, we moved back down there, and then I was assistant manager under Mark Roberts, who's still the general manager down in Florida for Adena South. And I oversaw all the yearlings and, yeah. and the breeding operation at the time. So it was a great opportunity. And then once Frank finished this farm here, he called. Literally, I'm vaccinating sale yearlings in the training barns, and I get a call from him, and, hi, Eric, you know, so a pretty typical phone call from him, and he said, you know, we've been thinking about it, and we want you to come back to Kentucky to be the general manager here. So given the opportunity to work with still I consider two of my best friends, Dan Hall and Mark Roberts, who really taught me almost everything I know about management, I felt ready to do it. And then having been a general manager for a successful operation, I certainly can't say no to Frank. So we're right. back again. So yeah. so we've been here
so
about 4 years.
Where's your wife from?
She's from Wisconsin, ironically enough.
Oh, for
crying
out loud.
Yeah, we our own little farm we call Midway Point because we met in Kentucky. We actually met at the Farm Managers Club.
Really?
Yeah, no, we Farm Managers Club.
Known well, for a lot of things, I didn't know it was.
Well,
a
you know, and I even
service.
I even still some close friends of mine, Tony Sissel, Wick Hughes. I proposed to Deborah at the Christmas dinner 1 year.
Oh,
we had Fred Winters at the time and David Hager were president and vice president, and you know, I asked the permission because I was on the board, and I said I'd like to do this, and Tony actually kind of came up with the idea. Well, let's get it. You know, we'll pretend like everybody's going to get up and sing, and you get up there and then propose to her, and it was funny. Yeah, Rich was there that night. It was a big.
Oh,
night.
You had all those witnesses.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, Ken McLean, the genetic guy, he still gives me a hard time about that. He was there that night.
But
so.
You were running a big risk here. What if she?
I know.
Well, before you go, how many kids you got?
I have two. My son is 11. My daughter's 8. Austin and Hannah both go to Bourbon County, Cane Ridge Elementary, and Austin's getting ready to get into sixth grade, so he's jumping up to middle school. So I love being in Bourbon County. We help quite a bit in the community. We host the YMCA benefit for the last 2 years. Frank made a substantial donation to the Bourbon County High School Athletic Program. They're going to name the new football field, the Dina Springs Field.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
So,
and I help coach football there and absolutely love it.
That's
so.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good
well, that's
for
great.
You.
Well, Eric, thanks for coming in.
Thank y'all. I really
you
appreciate
didn't
it.
Have to use your
I didn't have to use my cheat notes at all, did I?
Yeah, no. Well, that's been Eric Hamelbeck. Thank you, Eric.
Yes,
I appreciate
sir.
It.
Thank you.
Driving
very
all
much.
This way down here.
All this way. Yeah,
yeah right. But we've got to move along now. Jackie, you still haven't done your announcements.
I know, and you haven't called Michael.
And well, I got to call
this
Michael.
This has been a fun interview.
Yeah, right. It was fun. Should have brought your wife along.
I know. I almost brought one of my kids, but they were sleeping in this morning.
So. Oh. Well, you wouldn't be the first to bring kids in here. All right. Thank you. Well, 2011 sales to yours by Mizzen Mass have sold for an average of over $103,000. Keep that in mind when you see a yearling by Mizzen Mass enter the sales ring. They sell well because horsemen are well aware that they're sire's runners. They remember the likes of Grade 1 Stakes Winner Mass Track, a Grade 1 Stakes Winner Midships, a graded Stakes Winners like Jaboom, a Madeo, or Strike the Bell, or Seaspeak, or Tropical Life. The list just keeps growing. Over 40 stakes horses to date, and major tracks from coast to coast on every type of racing service, in sprints, round two turns, and in 7 different countries. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 Stakes Sprinting on the Dirt, graded stakes around two turns, and he's passing that on that versatility. He stands at Judd Meyer Farm with a young Grade 1 Stakes Winner First Defense, Bond Bridal Song, at a Grade 1 Stakes Winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good buddy Tom Biederman. And I recommended Tom to a couple of people just the other day. I said, this is the guy that can get the job done for you. They weren't looking for, they've got an 8-acre place. And over in Scott County, there was a lovely home on it. And I said, well, you need to
They were trying to sell it privately, and I said, no, 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 no. You call Tom Biederman at 277-2030. If anybody around here can get the job done, it's Tom. He's done it in the past, and he just keeps right on selling when other people are out thinking about it or not even thinking about it or giving up. He's got some great listings, and you need to go to his website to check them out. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com. Let me spell Tom's last name for you. B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, Brokerage.com. And as I say, he's got, it's a great website to just get on there and browse around. And he's got a, you know, some really nice people working for him, like Reggie Bouchelle, who's been with him for years, Joel Brown, Mike Morrison. Mike still trains. Ron Teeter's with him. Jonathan Knoll, Brad Knoll, Broussard Huntley, and that's Bruce's son, Joan Rich, Lisa Melling, and these are experienced, qualified people. You know, Tom knows where every sinkhole is in Central Kentucky, and he knows what to buy, knows what not to buy, and that's important. And he knows he's a horseman, and he can flat tell you, you know, he knows what you need, and he can set you up with it. So that's Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers, and it's BiedermanBrokerage.com. Good buddy over at Knott Griffin Farm. Well, he's got two farms. Knott Griffin, Harper's Island. They're close together, though. Jim has got the two farms that he uses for boarding and sales prep and public and private sales and rehab, anything that you need in the horse business, he's qualified to do it, highly qualified. He's got quality help. He wouldn't have anything but quality help and can give you some good, sound, common-sense advice. Just that's important also. Of course, he's come up under the best, Michael Osmond, John Williams, Lee Eaton. He's owned Knott Griffin for 17 years. Very successful in the business. If you want to deal with somebody in the horse business, well, talk to somebody who's successful because they've been there and done that, and Jim certainly has. Superior horseman. And it's his farm. Let me give you his website. It's Knott Griffin Farm, K-N-O-C-K-G-R-I-F-F-I-N, farm.com. Phone number over in Bourbon County is 987-8032. Just he can really help you out in the horse business if you're in it and you're not too happy or you're thinking about getting in it. It's Jim Fitzgerald. So give him a call. Once again, it's knottgriffinfarm.com. All righty. Michael Blowen, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Are you in New York?
Not yet. I'm in Ohio.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. We're just about an hour away from Grandpa's Cheese Barn.
Oh,
where we'll be having lunch.
Dinah going up with you?
Yes.
Oh, well.
We're having a long date.
A long date. Very
Send
good.
Her yes. my condolences.
Yeah.
Jackie sends her condolences.
Well, tell me what. Tell people, let people know why you're going to New York.
Well, a couple of reasons. We're doing some fundraising up there. On the 21st, on Thursday, we're having the second annual Little Silver Char Miniature Golf Tournament. This chaired this year by Jean Cougay and Angel Cordero.
We're not?
And we have a lot of... We have a lot of people coming in for that, so that'll be great. And then on Saturday night, we have our big fundraiser at the Washington Inn. It's going to be a big party and a lot of great auction items. And again, Edgar Prado, a lot of the jockeys will be there. Angel Cordero will be coming to that as well, and Jean Cougay. And we have a lot of great items and a lot of great people show up. A lot of the trainers show up because that's the opening Saturday at the Saratoga meet.
Yeah, I was talking to Bobby Ursary here just a few minutes, well, earlier this morning, and he had toyed with our idea of going up there, but he said he didn't want to drive by himself, so he wasn't going to go. I should have had him call you, shouldn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Bobby's great. I still like to watch Bobby fume over Dancer's Image disqualification in the Derby.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask him about that next time.
Yeah, he would have won two derbies in a row, I think, Bobby.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. He went on Proud Clarion.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
We have some great stuff that we got from an old baseball player, actually, who was sold his a little farm here in Kentucky and was moving to Florida with his wife because of some health issues. And he donated half of his racing collection to us, and we bought the other half. But also, there's a whole book of original photographs from derbies going back to the 40s.
I'd like to see those.
I'll bring it in next week.
Okay. All right.
And you can look at it. It's really an amazing collection.
Great. Great. Yeah. Of course, Michael is with old friends.
Everything's going well at the farm. We have the Briar Fest is at the horse park this week and this weekend, and we always have a lot of visitors.
I'm thinking about getting into the briar business because I can afford to feed them.
It's perfect, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't afford to buy them. Some are a little expensive.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of the people that has one of the great collections of briar horses in the world is Angel Cordero.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, his girlfriend told me that he treasures them more than his racing trophies.
Oh, my. Well, it takes all kinds, yeah. Doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, anything that keeps them in the sports, fine with me.
That's all right. Maybe some of these kids out here talk. Yeah, they say that's one of the biggest events of the horse park.
It's the biggest.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's amazing. I went to a nice luncheon last week at the Georgetown Scott County Chamber of Commerce gave, and John Nicholson was the speaker, talking about all the things that are going to be coming up at the horse park. It's just phenomenal how much that place has really grown over the past couple of years, and that was interesting. And Briarfest, of course, is over at the horse park.
Yeah.
And then we were doing tours yesterday, and a young girl came on a tour with a pink T-shirt on, and you know what she had on the front of the pink T-shirt?
What?
A picture of a silver charm.
Oh.
I said, where'd you get that? She goes, my mother gave it to me and made it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, his fame is far now.
Hey,
just unbelievable.
Michael, yes. You need to get a hold of the Briar people and have it do a little silver charm Briar horse.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. They are going to do an old friend's Briar horse.
Ah, good.
And it's going to be a gray horse, and we're not supposed to say too much about it, but it's coming out in January.
Well, you haven't had but two gray horses out there, so let me tell you who it's going to be.
You know, Ursula, you know, ever since you gave up the detective business.
Well, one of them is still alive.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's going to be the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that kind of, oh, well. I'm sure I've let the cat out of the bag now.
Well, if I hear from the Briar people, I'll just give him your number.
You're right.
You had said...
He's going to be, it's not going to be the little guy, but it's going to be a smaller version of the bigger horses because, you know, some of them are a little pricey, and the people that come to our farm are pretty much mostly working class people that are racing fans. And so the price range for our little briar horse is going to be in the $15 to $20 range.
Is that right?
That's good.
Yeah.
But you don't have to feed it. That's great, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, they are so...
You know, Zenyatta's, you can't keep the Zenyatta horse, briar horse, in the stores, I guess. And she's donating a portion of the proceeds from the sale of all the Zenyatta horses to old friends.
Oh, that's
nice. Wow, that's really nice, yeah.
Very nice.
You got your finger in every pie available, don't you?
Well, we're trying. Got to keep them alive. As you say, you got to feed them, and the feed bill's $3,000 a week, so you know what I mean.
You're right.
Keep up.
Yeah.
You had told us last week you were going to give us the name of the horse you're getting. Is that premature?
Oh, no, we're going to get prized.
Okay.
Prized. Yeah. All right. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. That's out of West Virginia.
Cup winner.
Out of West Virginia.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, another horse we're getting that cost me a bundle in the Breeders' Cup.
Okay.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's revenge.
I really like Neil Drysdale as a trainer, but why he thought that Prize, who'd never run on the turf in his life, was going to run up against the best turf horses in the world in the Breeders' Cup and win, and then he did it.
Prize can't help it if you're a lousy handicapper.
I know, that's true. I'll keep that in mind. Maybe I'll put that little statement on his paddock fence.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go, buddy. Doc was back today.
I know. It's great to see him, isn't it?
Yeah, he's all tan and everything, you know. I hate these people go on vacations. You know.
Well, that's another thing I should say, Ursa, before I go. The event they had the other night at Daisy Kipton, the equine health and welfare group with Dwayne Markham, Dr. Markham, and and Dr. Byers and everyone. And Anthony Kearns, the Irish tenor, was one of the best events I've ever been to.
Oh, I wish we could have gone.
So,
yeah.
And I think if they do it next year, people are going to really, really line up to go to this because it was really, really a great event. The governor was there. The first lady was there. I think everybody had a really good time.
Well, that's wonderful. All right, Michael, you be careful.
All right, we will. So thank you so much.
Talk to you next week.
All right. See you, buddy. All right, bye.
Well, there are two yearlings by Jazzle in the Phase of Tipton July sale. Hip number, Well, you know, this is old. This is old, Ursula. I can't do that. I'm supposed to do a De Hare. And I tell you what, I'll do this one first, and then we'll get back and do that. I've got a De Hare here for him. It's July 9 at Arlington Park. The Grade 2 $200,000 American Derby was won by Wilcox Inn. Jazzle, incidentally, has got a filly going in a stakes race in Virginia Day. But we'll get back to that. July 9 at Arlington Park. The Grade 2 $200,000 American Derby was won by Wilcox Inn. 3-year-old colt by Harlan's Holiday, bred by Dr. John Chandler. And Wilcox Inn stalked the early pace and drew off to a four-length win in the mile and 3/16 event. It appears he has no distance limitations. Winner in his previous start of the Arlington Classic, Wilcox Inn, in three starts as a two-year-old, won first time out at Arlington, placed in Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity in the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Turf. He's one of eight 2011 stakes winners by Harlan's Holiday, sired the winners of more than $300,000 already this year. He sired eight Grade 1 stakes horses, including the brilliant Majestic Perfection, considered by many to be the best sprinter of 2010. Now consider the fact that Harlan's Holiday was the sire of 109 foals in 2009, 121 in 2010, and five were offered at Tuesday's Facey Tipton July sale, and all five sold, and the average of $131,000 include the sales topper of $310,000. And he also covered 162 mares this year, so the best is yet to come. A proven Grade 1 sire, Harlan's Holiday stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstar.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is brisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, risk, class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover brisnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, there were 2 years by Malibu Moon in last Tuesday's Phasing Tipton sale. Kenny McPeak bought one of them for $165,000. John Ferguson bought the other. He paid $120,000 for one. Your next opportunity to buy Malibu Moon comes in August. Of course, that's at Saratoga. There were also three yearlings in the sale from the first crop by In a Mischief, and all three were sold, averaging $78,333 compared to the sales average of just over $69,000. The buyers were Deborah Easter Agent, who bid $125,000 for Philly, Pike Racing, and leading trainer Dale Romans. And first crop yearlings, sired by Tis Wonderful, were also well received for selling for $130,000, $85,000, $85,000, $80,000, with the top price youngster going to Bob Fell, agent for Sagamore Farm, and the astute horseman Cot Campbell purchasing a Tis Wonderful colt for his Dogwood stable. Getting back to Malibu Moon, he was represented by his 53rd stakes winner on July 9, when Malibu Win won a Northern Fling Stakes up at Presque Isle. He's a top 10 sire again this year. For success on the tracks and in the sales arena, look to the Spendthrift Stallions, with the Grade 1 stakes winners Arch 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 and Patty O'Prado joining the roster for 2012. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ed Toffin. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I got the horse right here.
All right, Jackie, we're going to finally get around to you. You want me to start it, right?
Yeah, this is KTA.
Yeah, Kentucky Thoroughbred by David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association has compiled all these things, and these are the names of the breeders of horses that were foaled in Kentucky, bred in Kentucky, that won stakes last week, and the Grade 1 Princess Rooney Handicap at Calder went to Sassy Image, a real runner by Broken Vow, bred by the J.C. Davis Farm. The grade two Delaware Oaks went to St. John's River. That's an include. He just had a grade one stakes winner, Her Smile, just a week earlier. This one bred by Dr. Dee Dee McGeehee. The grade two American Derby at Arlington Park. Wilcox Inn by Harlan's Holiday, bred by Dr. John Chandler. The grade two Carryback Stakes at Calder went to Indiana by Indian Charlie. He's got seven stakes winners this year, four graded. This one bred by the Diamond A Racing Stable. The grade two Swap Stakes at Hollywood Park, Dreamy Kid, bred by Robert S. Evans. The grade three Arlington Handicap, Taja Weed, bred by Harmon Sierkowski. Let's see, what else? We've got a couple of graded ones down here. Yeah, the grade two Dance Smartly Stakes up at Woodbine, Never Retreat, bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. And the group two Superlative Stakes at Newmarket, Red Duke won that, bred by Ben Walden Jr. and Harga Section. And other stakes, the Long Branch Stakes at Monmouth, Rattlesnake Bridge won that, bred by William Graves and Dennis Lynch. The Barbaro Stakes at Delaware, Awesome Bet, bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership. The Dearly Precious at Monmouth, Maple Forest won that, bred by Blue Haven Farm. The Wolf Hill Stakes at Monmouth was won by Perfect Officer, bred by Justice Farm, Greg and Steve Justice. And last but not least, the Robin Gin Stakes at Belmont, Beau Schwab, bred by Bell Meadows Farm and Lael Stable.
You know, I almost pulled this, but the Distorted Humor, something by Distorted Humor was 104 stakes winner by him. Somewhere, Sunray, is that a place?
Yeah, I got that.
Oh, you did get it? Oh, okay. Must not have been Kentucky bred, though, huh?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay. I was just checking. Okay, at the horse park this weekend. What is this weekend? Champagne Run? Well, Briarfest. Holy cow. Biggest event they have. If you go out and take a child, you and the child get in for $30, and you get a special commemorative Briar horse. Very nice.
That's $30. Also,
$30 to an adult child, and you get one of the Briar horses. Champagne Run is this weekend. Today and tomorrow it wraps up at the horse park. Tonight is the Bluegrass International Cup Polo. Now this is they start playing at 5, something like 5. I think you can get in about 4. Tickets are gone. Somebody found Lisa Malloy from Adoptions, 2 tickets in the main tent. She's all excited, but I understand they're not playing in that front field. They're in the back near the campgrounds. But it's to benefit the Bluegrass Conservancy, to do all that good stuff. Next week is the United States Pony Club Festival. That's a big deal. Okay, Breeders' Cup is going to eliminate race day meduplication by 2013. Regulators approve the instant racing at Kentucky Downs. That's a good thing. Okay, Brett Jones was elected to the Breeders' Cup Board of Directors. That's, of course, Airdrie Stud, your key to racing.
Those Joneses always get elected, don't they?
They got a thing about being elected. I'm for elected. Okay. Kentucky Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week. This horse, his name is Derby. His 4-year-old thoroughbred mare.
Beats me.
15-3. She is curious. And
how old is she?
4.
And be a filly.
Filly.
Yeah.
All right. That's why I looked. They wrote down mare. Filly. You're a filly till you're a mare at the age of 5. Anyway, she's right nice looking and needs a good home. She's sound. She gets along with other horses. They're starting to work with her, and they said she's cooperative and et cetera. So that's a good thing.
Let me interrupt you a second. Take care of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Shadwell Farm. De Hare was retired late in the 2008 breeding season. And he had a small test crop going for him this year, just 6 2-year-olds of 2011. That was enough to demonstrate that De Hare's going to sire runners. The first to start was Gypsy Rose in a $50,000 maiden special at Keenan. She won by 7.5 lengths and set a new track record. Her connections were so high on her that they sent her to Great Britain. And her second start came at Royal Ascot in a Group 2 stakes, and she ran pretty doggone good. Just got beat 3.5 lengths for all the money. of course, first start on grass and after a pretty long trip over there. So you'll see more of her. This year there will be many more opportunities to purchase a yearling by De Hare. When you see one walking to the sales ring, remember Gypsy Rose and remember that De Hare ran a mile in 1:33.3 to win the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and 1:34 to take the Grade 1, Grade 2, Jerome, and that he's a full brother to the Grade 1 stakes winner Spun Sugar by Awesome Again out of the stakes winner Irish Cherry. Awesome Again is the sire of 7 2011 stakes winners, including Grade 1 winner Game On Dude. Described as freaky fast by sports writer Steve Haskin, De Hare stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Is there music?
Yeah.
I don't have any earphones on.
Go ahead.
Okay, up at Saratoga, if you're all going up that way. Monday, August the 8th, is the Pedigree and Confirmation Clinic. This is put on by TOBA. It's at the Fasig Tipton Sales Pavilion. It's $175 if you're not a TOBA member. They've marked it down to $93.75. That's funny. For TOBA members. I think that's funny because it's a part of a dollar instead of $94 or something.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like you're buying groceries. Anyway. And then Thursday, August the 11th at 8 in the morning, a Thoroughbred Ownership Seminar. That's at Saratoga Race Course, that's at Saratoga Springs. How to Build a Racing Stable, Owner and Trainer Communications, Common Veterinary Concern, Accounting and Insurance Issues, etc. It's $100 for non-TOBA members and marked down from $75, $56.25. There's a clue here. If you go to both, it's four. What is 9 and 5 is 14. It's $150 for both. They've just sliced it a little funny. Isn't that funny? So I figured that out.
I bet you David Schweitzer did that.
That's pretty clever when you think of that. Otherwise, I could figure, why 75 cents? Okay. If you're interested, it's TOBA.org or locally 276-2291. Ellis Park is ranked 6th in the United States and Canada. It's one of the top 10 thoroughbred racetracks for handicappers. It's an advocacy group. You know that bunch that got together, racetrack betters.
Oh, yeah, is that right? They like Ellis Park, huh?
Yes, Horse Players Association in North America. That's it. They're 7th among 67 racetracks.
Hmm.
How about that? Isn't that good?
How come I lose?
Well, you have to, I don't know. Anyway, New Vocations Charity Horse Show. Up in Delaware, Ohio, but a lot of people that have adopted from New Vocations are going to this show. It's July 30th and 31st. That's a wonderful organization. They have...
Lisa Malloy here is great.
Oh, you know, she may be the best rider I know. We were talking about this the other night, but that girl gets on four or five. They're strange. They bring them in. You don't know what you're getting. She gets on four or five a day. She gets them adopted in a month or 6 weeks. She's just terrific.
Only is she a good rider, there's more to it than that, Jackie. She understands the horse.
Absolutely understands what, she's so sympathetic. Well, and that one horse they had to gallop out here with a pony.
Yeah.
She had it following her around, trail riding, doing everything.
Yeah. Within weeks.
Yeah. It's just extraordinary. She's so good. Okay. Hats Off Day is Tuesday. No, Hats Off Day is August 6th at the Horse Park. Now, what's Hats Off Day? That's donated farm hats, stallion hats, equine industry, business hats, anything. They give them away until they're out of them at the Horse Park. It's a big deal. Tourists love it because they get a free hat. Might say, Awesome Again, you know, Adina Springs, stuff like that.
What does mine say?
Yours says Taylor Special.
Oh, okay.
Deceased.
They can't have my hat.
No, they can't have your hat.
It might get me for indecent exposure if
right.
I don't wear a hat.
Probably. Anyway, farms, you people out there, you can drop your hat off at Rood and Riddle or Haggard's or Woodford Equine Clinic. Or if you want them picked up, 233-0371. I'm going to talk about my favorite restaurant. We all... remember how we loved the Black Tulip in Midway, Kentucky, and that was Bill Vandendoel's place and his son, Chef Spencer Band and Duel. Well, they're back. Spencer is, anyway. It's called the Tulip Bistro and Bar, French American Cuisine. It's over on Romney Road now, 355 Romney, right down from Suggins. I think it's the same people, basically. It's delicious. They were listed as top 10 restaurant by the Lane Report. And it's just excellent. And they've got a room that up to 30 people, you can have a meeting in there and stuff. Check out the menu and all that good stuff at the TulipBistroAndBar.com. Or you really ought to get a reservation because it's very popular. And they have a patio with umbrellas and stuff. So it's 367-6687. And when you go, try... Wait a minute. What is it on here that I love? Well, the pork tenderloin's outstanding. Oh, yeah, they have duck. I mean... It's fabulous. So once again, it's the TulipBistroAndBar.com or 367-6687 out on Romney Road. Sally Van is now the United States Equestrian Federation's first official horse transportation provider because they're the best. So there. Next good thing coming up at Lakeside is July 30, 31. That's the Kentucky Hunter Jumper Show. My friend Peggy Manis has got some great stuff out at her photography studio in Midway. She's getting a lot of hunt, really extra nice hunt stuff in it. Give her a call. She's out in Midway, 846-9343. And if you're interested in kind of online fun, go to WindstarStableMates.com and you get, for a free member games contest, farm cameras. You get to watch farm camera. Scoot around the farm, see what's going on, and that'll do her.
All righty. Well, back to the Thoroughbred Center. We've had 25 winners come out of here so far this month. And since we talked last, which was last Saturday, of course, David Atkins won with Curses and Blessings. Starter allowance up at Presque Isle, I think 30-some-odd thousand pounds. The horse was coming off a mile and a quarter starter allowance win at Keeneland. The horse is a nice horse. Nice, not very big, but he's...
Saw him go by today, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did. Let's see. Who else? Marco Castaneda won with a horse. Tia Rufina, Akiko Gothard. Thank you for the donuts, Akiko.
Oh, she's a sweetie. What a nice lady.
She sure is. Wayne Mackey won one. Scooter Hughes, or Byron G. Hughes, everybody calls him Scooter, Amalio Garcia, Troy Rankin, one up at Indiana Downs, Mark Hubley won one just recently at Arlington. Somebody said they won two up there. I'm going to check that. I might have missed one. But anyway, we're going to give you credit for one, Mark, and Jazby. And Brian Michael won one last night at the Mountain, which incidentally, 29%. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center at Mountaineer in the last 2 months.
Okay, I want to tell you to go to WLXG.com, download the apps for all this kind of stuff, and this will be up on UrsaWillis.com as soon as I get a new tech guy, after which, of course, these shows are archived at the Keeneland Library.
Want to thank Ressie here at the Crocker Stand, Mary Jane down in the studio. Great job, and we'll talk to everybody next week.